In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, one God. Amen. I'm a little sick, so forgive my voice a little weak. Thankful for the microphone. And when you're sick, sometimes it's like a forced pilgrimage. When I was a kid, I hated being sick because I couldn't go do the things I wanted to do. I couldn't go out and play. I couldn't ride my bike, and I felt tortured. But as a priest, I'm really thankful for it now. Because it forces me to slow down, forces me to do more spiritual reading. I can't really look at my phone very much. It hurts my eyes. I can't even read that much. And I'm forced just to be with myself, which is essentially what it's like when you go to the monastery. We should do it more often, and it accuses me. But it was a very beautiful last few days for me, and a beautiful thing for my family. All of them have the flu, all my kids. And for them to also have to do the same thing and not distract themselves. And when I sit with myself and I'm honest, and we're really looking at ourselves in a way that we're not just trying to put a face to the world and be a faker, it can be pretty humbling. And we don't do it very often for that reason, I think. We're so busy, and justifiably so. We're busy, we have things to do. We have people to serve and to love and families to raise and jobs to do, but we sometimes lack that time to just be still and know that He's God. And this is my number one job as a priest, and I do the services and do my prayer rule and all that. Nevertheless, this imposed time is beautifully helpful to me, especially on this Sunday. The Lord is getting us ready for great Lent, really getting us ready for eternity, constantly. And knowing that we're weak, we need these wake-up calls. I know I do. So we're given these preparatory weeks before Lent, so we don't squander this incredible time coming to us. And I know I've been Orthodox for a number of years, and I've squandered many a Lent. I didn't care so much before, but now I do, and I don't want to waste it, because I know the joy and the healing, the fruit that can come, not just for myself, but for others around me as a priest. And so we need to rejoice in these weeks that are giving us a lesson. So last week was the publican and the Pharisee to show us humility. Without humility, we're sunk. And nothing we do, prayers, prostrations, it's worthless. What's the next lesson the Lord gives? The fathers say He gives us this beautiful, stunningly beautiful vision of the prodigal son. And I could say a number of things to keep it short. I told the parish council, and maybe the whole parish, I'd give a short homily. And I don't want to have to confess that later. Might give you a heart attack today. Just focus on a couple points. Today is supposed to do two things. After humility, it shows us the danger of lust and the sins of the body. Now, what do I mean? Prodigal. That word in English has a funny meaning to it. It doesn't mean in other languages, it means like he's a bad guy, he wasted his life. No, in Greek and in Russian, it means like sexual and lustful and inappropriate. And I hear confessions of kids at a certain age, they know what I'm talking about, so we're not scandalizing them. We all know what we're talking about. Inappropriate thoughts, inappropriate actions, justifying ourselves, eating too much, drinking too much, all these other things. The fathers say, okay, we began with humility. That's our base. And now, the humility of our soul has to be matched with a certain purity of the body. Because if not, it will destroy us. Look at these two boys, these two sons in the parable today. By the way, in those ancient times, people didn't go off and live alone like we do now. In the ancient times, you should know, they lived together as one family. So him asking for his inheritance was saying, I don't want to wait for you to die, Dad. Give me my money now. How horrifying. How horrifyingly unloving to his father. Unthankful. And a break from his whole family. This is what we're often like before God. Unthankful. Unaware. And God gives it to us. You know, the father knew his son's character. He knew he was kind of a punk. He knew that he was lustful and he had addictions, and he knew darn well what he was going to do with his money. But he did it because he had gave him freedom. People often say, well, if God loved us, why wouldn't he take away the suffering? Why would he let all these bad things happen? Because he loves us in the same deep, powerful way to respect our God-given freedom. God doesn't force us to love him. He loves us enough as an example so that we can choose to love him. And so he chose his inheritance and he left. And he spent it in prodigality. Women, booze, every bad thing you can imagine, the fathers say. and he blew it all. And now, from being a big shot, he's empty and destroyed, and he's so hungry. Remember, he's a Jew, by the way. And for Jews to even go near pigs would be bad. Now he's like trying to feed the pigs, and he can't even get some of the pig food. Imagine how far he's fallen. He's in the pig pen. He's covered in mess and dirt. You see many ancient portrayals of this, of the prodigal son in the pig pen, and he's wretched and covered in. That's us. We don't believe it often, do we? We think we're fine. We're like that super dangerous other son who thinks he's fine, who's actually also prodigal in his own way. We have to recognize that we're in the pig pen. Oh, no, I'm not, Father. I'm a good person. I stick with my father. I go to church. I didn't leave the church. I didn't rebel from my parents. The Holy Fathers say, if you have lust in your heart, in your mind, if you simply look after a person to lust after them, you've committed adultery in your heart. That's where it starts. So this should accuse all of us. God forbid any one of us can say, it doesn't apply to me. I'm not like that. I'm not a murderer. I'm not a rapist. I'm not a bad person. Then Christ didn't come for us. And we're sitting in mud, and we think that we're in the palace. But a really crucial thing happened at this point. In the midst of his misery, you know what often wins out in the midst of misery? Deep pride. Deep pride. You know, all of us, there's a difference between repentance and shame. Right? There's guilt and shame, the Father's talking about. It's a very careful difference. Right? Guilt is paralyzing. And it comes from our pride. I'm a terrible person. I'm so messed up. I keep lusting. I keep doing this. I'm so lazy. I don't change. But it can never get any better for me. I'm worthless. Self-hatred. Or I don't want to change it. I love it. Whatever it is. And we say, I'm going to go right on numbing myself in this pig pen. Who cares? That's not repentance. That's guilt. It's a Western kind of guilt. How can you discern the difference between the two? Guilt paralyzes you. You can't move. And you don't want to. And you stay in it. That's not repentance. What's a godly shame? A godly shame which the world has taught us since we were little to avoid. It's exactly what this man did. It's so beautiful in the gospel. It said he came to himself. In Greek, it's very beautiful. He woke up. It's like in his misery, in his crisis, a little bit of humility happened. And he woke up and he came to himself and said, how many of my father's servants, hired servants, have plenty of food to eat? And here I, this prince, lie miserable and can't even do that. But he didn't stop there. You see, many of us do that step even. Gosh, I know I could do this. I see the church. People are like me struggling too. And they get up. Look at the saints. They were like me too. Mary of Egypt, she was terrible. She changed. But it's still just a thought at that point. Just an idea. Just a hope. But we often stay in the pig pen. We think these pious thoughts. We're so guilty and our pride is reigning us still in the midst of the pig pen. We stay there. But here's the powerful difference with the prodigal son and why it's so important to us today. He said, I will arise and I will go to my father. You see, it's a very powerful verb of action. He didn't just think a pious thought. He got off his tuchus and he went to do it. It was a long journey, a miserable, hungry journey. And it was one of repentance. And that made all the difference in the world. We make great ideas in our minds, don't we? About repentance, about how our marriages are going to be, about how our life's going to be, our business is going to be. But what's the difference between people that actually do things, make them beautiful, and those who just imagine them? Getting off your backside and doing it. Pushing your will. Our wills are so weak. And the Holy Fathers, a friend once said to a group of students, what's the difference between a saint and someone who's not? Nothing. One thing. Will. Do you want it? And our wills are so weak in our times. And Lent is a sharpening and a building of that will to come to love God and love others. So he got up and he arose and said, and he already had half the battle won then because he got up. He didn't despair. He was repenting now. And the difference, when you feel like repenting, you see that you're an idiot. You see your sinfulness. But you're going to get up and do something about it. You're going to call your priest and say, I need to go to confession. Or you're going to go, Saturday night, I'm going to confession. I'm not going to miss it. I'll wait in line. I'll do whatever. I'm going to go confess. I'm not going to. And before you get to confession, you turn to God right away and go, forgive me. Go in front of your icons and your knees. Forgive me, God. Go to your wife or your husband or your kid and say, I'm so sorry. Or to your co-worker, sorry, I was rude to you. And you've already won. But the devil wants to keep us from that arising action. But I would end by noticing how he finally came to his father. He didn't come and say, well, I've repented now. I'm going to come back into my big digs because I'm the prince. Many of us fall into this too. A little bit of repentance, we're good. Notice that's not what he did. He said, he rehearsed it. I'll go to my father and I'll say, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. He didn't just say, hey, I was a little bit bad, sorry. We often do that, right? We know we're wrong. Then we come to the church and just minimize what we did. You minimize your healing. The Father said, the degree to which you come to confession with godly shame and you just puke everything out is the degree of the joy and consolation you'll have when you walk out of confession. But if you hedge it and you're careful in a worldly way, you'll leave unfulfilled and unconsoled. And he said, I'm not worthy to be called your son. Just make me one of your hired servants. I'll be content. I know I sin. I know I don't deserve it. So many of us have this idea that we can be totally lazy, totally judgmental, totally lustful, and yet God deserves to give me everything. Where does that ever work? Somehow in our modern kind of quasi-prosperity gospel world, we can convince ourselves in this ludicrous way that even though I'm lustful, even though I'm sinful, and I'm selfish, and I'm self-focused, God should give me everything perfect. I think we're maybe one of the first generations to really think that way. But we can't do it. It'll destroy us. We come humbly. I'm not even worthy to be called your son. I'm not worthy. Just give me a little spot in the corner. And you know what's beautiful? This is the most beautiful part, and I can hardly get through it every time when I was thinking about it in my stupor the past few days being sick. The incredible love of the Father. Incredible love of God, which is why we're all here today. Which is why I'm a priest, and why you're an Orthodox Christian, and why it's worth all this struggle. You could be in your bed or be at brunch. You could be many places right now. You've chosen to be here. And if there's one reason of everything, it's the love of Christ. There's nothing like it in this whole world. And it shatters all of our sinfulness. It cleans every pig pen. And we know it. It says that the Father ran out to meet him. What's that mean? It means he was waiting and looking. He didn't give up after all those years. He was constantly waiting and looking for the return of his son. That's how God constantly waits for us. Constantly. And it says that the Father ran out to meet him. It was a shame for an old man in those Jewish times to run at all. He didn't care about the shame. He despised the shame like Christ. And he ran out, and it says in the Greek, that he fell upon each other's necks. Such a beautiful image in our cold, kind of stern world. I love that about Orthodoxy, how we hug each other and we kiss each other, and how we're intimate in that sense, and the kiss of peace. And I have a great priest friend. He's like my second spiritual father. He always says, I can't wait to see you in person, and we can fall upon each other's necks. It's a very beautiful image. And he runs out to meet him, and before he can even get the words all the way out, Father, I have sinned before heaven and before thee. I'm not worthy to be called. Before he even can begin, he picks him up off of his face and he says, let's make merry. Let's get him everything. He gives him everything. Every party, every gift, the robe, everything. I can go into more detail. The robe symbolizes baptism. The wine symbolizes the body and blood of Christ. It's an amazingly powerful parable. The most important is, God the Father didn't say, what'd you do when you were gone? Why'd you waste my money? Why'd you destroy our family like that? Nothing. He simply waited. The world operates that way. So we assume God operates that way. And that's why we delay our repentance. You make a mistake at work or you're rude to your boss, you know you got to dig out of that hole. And it's not simple as saying sorry and he forgives you totally, unfortunately. But the one place in the world that always works is with Christ and his mercy. He's always looking for us. Not just looking for us to run out to us. To humble himself for us. To fall on each other's necks, and to rejoice every time you repent in front of your icon corner. Every time at work you shame somebody and you ask forgiveness, the angels in heaven rejoice and a cloak is put upon you. And when you come to confession and you humble yourself and confess, it's an unbelievable regeneration and a uniting with God that this world doesn't know about. Let us be like this prodigal son, not like this other son. Oh, I know better. Would you give us money? I never did anything wrong. I was always in church. I did everything right. First of all, you're a liar, the Father said. If you think you're doing that, you're lying to yourself. We're all prodigal. We're all lustful. We're all sinful. We're all in the pig pen. But if you think you are like the Jews who couldn't see Christ, and you lack the biggest thing, that son lacked love. He was nothing like his father, because his father had love. The love of Christ trumps everything in this world. It trumps sin. It trumps everything. It's the most beautiful and precious thing in this world, and it's not of this world, and it conquers eternity. The love and mercy of God. This world can't understand it. Tries to judge it. Tries to manipulate it. It's the only thing worth living for, brothers and sisters. Let's get out of the pig pen. We're all in it. Let's arise from our lethargy. Let's stop making excuses. Let's actually love God more than our sins in the pig pen and trust Him. We don't trust and believe. Take a leap of faith. Get up and go to Him and enter church and enter your spiritual life saying, Christ, I'm an idiot. I've wasted my life. But you know, I know you love me. Make me one of your hired servants. And He makes you a king and queen of eternity. When a married couple's married, son of Adam, daughter of Eve, kings and queens of creation, replaced. Peter and Paul, terrible sinners, first among the apostles. And God can take us, sinful losers, myself first among you, this idiot priest, and He wants to crown us. And I find that so intimidating sometimes, and even maybe paralyzing. That's my pride, my sinfulness. But if we can put on the mind of the fathers, put on Christ as these saints did, then we can rejoice in this mystical party we're in now. The liturgy is a mystical celebration. It's the greatest celebration and party and festival there is. And God has invited all of us to it today. May our ego and our laziness and our lust and love of the flesh, may it not keep us from coming and falling upon the neck of God the Father and receiving His forgiveness. Like which there is nothing in this entire world. Lord Jesus Christ, we have sinned before You, before heaven and earth. We ask You to receive us as one of Your hired servants. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.